Martin.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
Can I believe you? Can I believe you very often?
And can you believe me? Never. Me and Sam Ryder have got something, a big thing in common in our lives now. And it's not that we both love Eurovision.
And it's not the length of your hair either, because Sam Ryder's beating you by miles.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, well, not miles. it's not literally miles.
By at least a foot, I'd say.
Possibly. It's not that. this is it. This is. I genuinely find this kind of incredible that this has come out with such timing. It's bizarre. I'll tell you all about that, and we've got lots to discuss about Junior Eurovision as well in this latest edition of Nullpoix.
Nullpoix is shameful.
Nullpoix is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpoint is no fun.
Oh, it's Nullpoix back again for another episode of your Eurovision fan podcast. Myself, Martin, and Laura, we are here to talk about the Eurovision Song Contest. We absolutely love it, love it, love it. And we're learning about it all the time. And we're trying to bring you as much news and information as we can and our take on it. And we're doing silly things as well. So, for example, our brand new game, Flop That Eurobop, is back. And we've got someone else playing this time, singing a Eurovision song really, really badly.
Terribly.
And we and you have to try and guess what that is. Thank you to our Patreon who has done that, Theo. Speaking of Patreon, thank you once again. If you are a null pointer on there,
thank
you're giving us a pound, maybe even £3 a month, just to kind of keep us doing what we're doing, really, and just sort of cover some of the small expenses, because we do lose money doing this, but you know, we do it for fun. Oh, but you know, any quids that you can throw our way would be very, very nice. So Theo is one of those people, lots of other people as well pledging some money, and thank you so much to Jem, to Richard, to Emma, to Peter, and to a new Patreon this week.
Bum, bum, bum. Yes, thank you very much to Nathan as well, who's become the newest null pointer. Thank you very much for that. We very much appreciate it. And if you're thinking, well, you know, I'm happy to maybe support you guys, but what do I get in return? Well, you do actually get something. You do get the episodes at least 24 hours in advance. And with our recordings schedule at the moment, it's often more than 24 hours.
Yes.
You do also get to have a bit of a conversation with us and with the other patrons when we put up the posts, because you get to comment on all those posts specifically as well. There's two options. There's the £1 option, there's the £3 option if you're feeling particularly lovely and supportive. And yeah, it's literally just patreon.com/nullpoints, NULPOINTS. Obviously, we don't expect you to do it, but it's nice if you do, if you join in. And you can even do it as a sort of one-off thing. It's not something you have to do every month if you feel you don't want to. But yeah, thank you again to Nathan, our latest null pointer.
And just if you are a Patreon supporter, if you are a null pointer, we are cooking up something special for you, aren't we? We're having a little powwow about something that we can maybe do that is above and beyond, just as a little extra, just to say thank you. So we're working on that, and we'll let you know. In the meantime, what then, Crest, do you have in common with Eurovision entrant Sam Ryder?
Yes, UK Eurovision entrant Sam Ryder. Well, this is bizarre. Martin spotted this. Sam Ryder recently posted about a song he's released with David Guetta, and no, it's not that I've also released a song with David Guetta. That isn't the thing that we've got in common. But this tweet, I'm just amazed. He said, "Has anyone ever accidentally stood on a sea urchin before? I have. I finally got the spikes up my foot when Sigala and David Guetta and myself released our song called Living Without You. I like to imagine it's dedicated to those spikes. It's not." And I can feel in that tweet Sam's pain. Because if you listened to the previous podcast, we spoke about our holidays, and on my holiday in Croatia, I did accidentally stand on a sea urchin. And the spines are still in my toe.
They're still there.
They're still there. Still there, yeah.
Oh my word, that's really bad, isn't it? So, and yeah, so Sam Ryder's also stood on a sea urchin at the same time.
Yeah, pretty much the same time. I just thought that was bizarre. And the way he's worded that tweet, I can tell it's caused him some pain. The video shows them taking some of them out the foot, and there's someone going, all those little things are the spines in your foot. And he looked shocked. Now, I think he had more than I did, because I've got I've just got a few in my toe. I won't go into great detail about it.
No, but please don't.
The spines are coming out this week, by the way. They're coming out. I just needed some equipment to get them out, and hopefully.
You mean you hadn't bought any tweezers?
Yeah. So, well, tweezers make them break. You know, actually, I might message Sam and be like, look, have you got any tips for this? Because it's an awful situation to be in, and he's been in it. So we're sort of kindred spirits.
Well, you were going to wee on them, weren't
you?
No,
I wasn't. No, you don't.
That was a consideration.
No, it was never in consideration. You suggested that. And I'd just like to say once again, that is not a thing you do. Do not do that with sea urchin spines or actually jellyfish stings. Both of them. It's a urban legend, Martin. Don't do it.
Okay, well, that's good to know. There you go. So that is what Sam Ryder and Laura Kress have in common. They've both been stung and spiked by a sea urchin.
Sam, if you'd like to get in touch, just give me any hints and tips. I'd be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Now, I suppose we have to come clean at this point, because
yes,
Kress and I had recorded the podcast and everything was going swimmingly. And then the news earlier in the week dropped the big news that we absolutely must talk about. So here we are talking in sort of extenuating circumstances to bring you this very important news, which is, of course, the news that the shortlist of UK cities to host the song contest in 2023 has now gone from 7 to 2, and remaining are Glasgow or Liverpool.
Remaining is Glasgow and Liverpool. They are both remaining, but it is going to be one of them. Remember, it used to be, like you said, 7. It was going to be either Birmingham, Leeds, Manchester, Newcastle, Sheffield, or Glasgow and Liverpool. Like you said, it's now been cut drastically down to 2. And thoughts on this, Martin? I don't think either of us are surprised about Glasgow. That's been the one that everyone's been saying they expect it to be in the end result, and it's been way up top in all the odds. Liverpool, I think they just put in a really, really strong bid. And the thing is, they do have this history of music. Obviously, there's the Beatles, but there's so much more than just the Beatles. I'll be honest, I'm gutted for Manchester. I was really hoping it was going to be Glasgow or Manchester.
I agree. I think it would have been lovely if Manchester was there in the running. I'm slightly surprised that Liverpool are up there. Glasgow, not surprised at all, because as you say, it was very much up top there in the running. But yeah, Liverpool, there is of course a huge, as you rightly point out, a huge musical heritage that Liverpool has and has had for a very long time. So it is a kind of the home of places like this. So you can understand they've definitely got all of the links and everything that you would need to have, you know, the transport links and places to host it. They certainly can put forward a strong bid. But I am still quite surprised, just because Liverpool seemed like such an outlier, and I really didn't think that it was in there with a contention of being in. But you're right, it must have just really impressed the BBC in this criteria of places that they were looking for to host.
I'll tell you what I think it is, Martin. I think what's happened, I think the Netta curse strikes again. If anyone is on Eurovision Twitter, you will know about this. People tweet about this. It's pretty funny. The Netta curse is basically whichever Eurovision winner, remember she won for Israel with Toy.
I was
going to
say, she did, I'm not your toy, not
yeah,
your
that's,
toy.
Yeah, she did that. Her. So she has won herself, but whichever one Netta picks whenever she tweets on social media doesn't seem to get through, because she picked Rome for the host city for Italy. She's previously picked other ones which haven't gone, and this time she picked Manchester, and everyone was saying, that's it, Manchester's not gonna get it now. And it's true.
Oh,
Netta, you've ruined it again. Please stop predicting countries. I mean, I think it'd be funny now. She needs to now pick either Glasgow or Liverpool, and let's see if the Netta curse prevails, because I don't know what's going on there, but it seems to always be the case. Talking about it a bit seriously, though, I mean, where would you like it to be now, Martin? We've got Glasgow or Liverpool. What are your thoughts?
To be honest, I think I still need a bit more time to think about this, because I hadn't really even considered Liverpool as a serious option, just because I thought, well, it won't be Liverpool. You know, in the same way, I hadn't really considered Leeds. Like, if Leeds had been in the top two, I would have gone, oh, right, Leeds. I need to think about that. Glasgow, I think, at the moment, is still my preference, just because I think it'd be nice to have a non-English city host.
Is that also because you've booked a hotel room there?
Yes, it is. I'd say 99% that, because I haven't done any of that for Liverpool.
No.
I think, though, Liverpool would be great as well. And
I agree, yeah.
For reasons of heritage, I think it's a beautiful city, one I haven't seen in many years, actually, and I would really like to go
That's
back
true.
To. The architecture is fantastic. It's got a great... some wonderful venues. I think Liverpool would be fantastic as a host city. At the moment, I think my preference is still Glasgow, but I think I would be happy if it turned out to be Liverpool. What happens now then? Because now it's down to two. How long is it going to take? You know, like, when are we going to know, for goodness
right.
sake?
It's still going to be a little while, unfortunately, and let's hope we don't get caught out on this again. But we try. Basically, it was announced on the day that they were going to make this update, and it wasn't clear when that update was going to be made on the day, and it wasn't clear what the update was. But yeah, so they've now said, the EBU has said, further discussions will take place with officials from Glasgow and Liverpool and a final decision will be made within weeks. So I'm going to say, I'm guessing maybe mid-October, possibly, we're going to hear something. They'll say the successful host city will be revealed in the autumn by the BBC and the EBU. And then with tickets for the live shows expected to go on sale in the months after the host city is confirmed. So that's pretty standard fare, really.
Yeah, okay. So still a little while to wait, but now all the discussion, Glasgow or Liverpool, of course, your comments and your thoughts, always welcome, and we'll get to those. In fact, there have already been a few.
Yes, there have been. Thank you so much, because this is big news and everyone's talking about this. Thank you to Naomi on our Instagram, Nullpoir Podcast, who wants it to be Glasgow. They say, I think it has all the resources, accessibility and space to do it. Love Liverpool, but I think Glasgow just ticks all the boxes. I think I'm kind of with you there, if I'm honest. We also did a poll on our Twitter, at @poirnull. We said, which do you prefer, Glasgow or Liverpool? And 65% of you said Glasgow. Only about 34.4% of you said Liverpool. So I think the feeling is there. Everyone's kind of, obviously, unless you're from Liverpool, probably wants it to be Glasgow. But yeah, keep sending us your sort of thoughts on this, where you'd like it to be. Were you disappointed that other places didn't get through it? Are you getting ready now? Are you really getting into the spirit now that we're nearly there with the host city? We'd love to hear from you either on that, or you can email us as well, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com.
That's enough of that, though, for now. And moving back to our pre-prepared bit of the podcast, which we'd already done, and we had to put this bit in at the last minute. Moving on to Belgium, who are giving us a little bit of sneaky information as to what they might have in store for 2023, because we now know how they're going to pick who's representing them.
Yes, and they've had a bit of a U-turn, basically. VRT, which is the Belgian broadcaster, they were originally going to pick their entry for 2023 through an open call. That is basically people send in their songs and they pick from those songs. They've now made a big U-turn and they said, actually, they're going to do it with a record label. So instead, a record label is going to help them sort of select who's going to represent Belgium next year. And the reason they've kind of given for this is just simply they ran out of time. They said because...
we've all been very busy. We've been working on a new episode of Belgium Country File. We've run out of time to do the Eurovision.
There still will be. Now, what is interesting is they'll still have a national final Euro song, and that's returning after a 7-year gap. So this is a sort of a pre-selection for what songs go on that. So there still will be a national final. So they've basically just decided to, they've kind of gone, we'll do it this way and this way. But we won't do it that way anymore. They basically said, because of the late decision to organise a pre-selection, an open call has not been made. The teams consulted a large group of record companies and managers with regards to the availability of possible candidates. So they've just basically gone round to lots of the record labels and been like, do you have anybody? How about you?
Oh,
anyone?
No.
And that's how they're going to do it. But there will still be, you know, a primetime show where people then decide from that. So there you go. That's it's interesting, isn't it, how quite a lot of them are moving towards record labels now.
Yeah, it's almost like they've seen how the UK did it and went, we're going to copy that rather than just come up with their own idea.
Not that the UK was the only one to do it that way, but obviously they did do it quite successfully. And let's face it, they did it before with the record label and got Nul Poir. So
I know. Well, I was just about to sort of say that. It's just, you've got to pick the right record label, clearly.
You do. That's it, isn't it? And the right singer. Surprising that.
Yeah. Surprising that the song and singer has to be good in order to do well at the Eurovision Song Contest. Who'd have thunk it? Right then, your thoughts, by the way, on any of the stuff we've been talking about so far, very, very much wanted and needed, and we're very happy to receive your correspondence, which we will get to in just a little moment. Also, flop that Eurobop on the way soon. Someone, one of our null pointers from our Patreon, Theo, is going to be choosing the song that he's going to sing really, really badly, and all we have to do and all you have to do is try and work out what on earth it is. We've not really yet done that well on it, although you did do quite well last time, Chris.
Yeah, so I got it.
Yeah, you did. But, you know, I think if you average it out, it's still not good for us.
No.
But maybe that law changed today. You'll find out very, very soon after we've talked about Junior Eurovision. Now, every time we talk about Junior Eurovision, we have to hold our hands up and say, we aren't as across Junior Eurovision as we feel like we'd like to be or we should be. We're told many times, and when we have our chats with Ewan Spence, who's really into his kind of Eurovision knowledge and trivia and things, he always says, make sure you watch Junior Eurovision because you see things in that, you see contestants in that, but you also see format changes in that that reflect what's going to happen maybe in a few years' time in the actual contest, which is very, very interesting. And we go, yes, Ewan, but we haven't got any time to watch it. but we have got our eye on it this time because they've announced the theme and, more importantly, my favourite, the slogan for Junior Eurovision this year.
Yes, they have. And as I love these slogans they come up with, and I love that they do it for Junior Eurovision as well. And this time, this year's theme art, sort of art and slogan is... Spin the magic. Now, there is a reason. There is a reason behind it. And it is quite cute. It is quite cute.
Spin the magic.
No, the reason is cute. Not the slogan. The reason is cute.
No, I know, but I'm saying let's just let's just take the slogan for a moment before we go into the reasons behind it. It sounds ridiculous.
Yes,
spin
it does.
Suggests some sort of like political spin doctor.
No, but there's a reason. There's a reason it says spin the magic. If you just let me explain.
Okay, what's the reason?
Because the artwork is all about a spinning top, a toy, and I'm reading from the PR here, a toy common across the world. And it unleashes neon colours as it brings children together. But the point is that because it's Junior Eurovision, it's a children's toy, which many countries will know. It's a simple children's toy. And they've used that as a kind of spinning top that, you know, spin the magic. It's a spinning top. It's a spinning top.
That's not helped, actually. That's just made it more stupid.
But I'm trying to explain the spit because it's quite a common toy in Armenia, which I don't know if we've said that's where it is being held this year. It's got like a traditional pattern. And the person, you know, who's spoken up about this, the Armenia broadcaster CEO says, I am convinced that everyone has fond memories about this toy. Do you have fond memories about this toy, the spinning top, Martin?
Not really. I mean, well, I used to do yo-yos when I was little.
Oh, you see, maybe they should have done that, spin that, because that would still have worked, spin the magic. But anyway, apparently this perfectly reflects the values of Junior Eurovision. A lot of countries have spinning tops, each of them unique. Everyone's united around the idea of magic, music and joy, and at the same time presenting a different song and performance. There you go, spin the magic, Martin.
I'm just trying to think of other things they could have done on the same thing. If they're not going to go for a spinning top, like everyone had like a cuddly toy, like a teddy bear. They could have gone Cuddle the Bear of Sound. That could have been...
Oh, would the bear be making a noise? Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, the bear would have been singing and it would be Cuddle the Sound Bear.
Cuddle, yeah.
The yo-yo, you know, it could have been Dunk the...
Spin the Magic again.
Well, it could be Spin the Magic or it could just be, yeah, Dunk the... Get the sound down and get it back up.
But we're not... Why has it got to be sound? It doesn't have to be joy. It should be Dunk the Joy.
Dunk the...
I don't know, actually. I'm not sure about that. Oh, no, maybe not. Maybe not for Junior Eurovision, no. I don't know,
maybe not
actually.
Dunk the Joy. Maybe leave that one out.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, when I thought about that again, I thought, no, maybe not. Anyway, just let's move on from that. Let's move on. This is, remember, of course, this is all happening in December.
Yeah.
There's 16 countries taking part. Shall I run through quickly? Let's just move on from that. Shall I run through what countries are actually going to be taking part this year?
Yes, please, if you would.
Yes. Albania, Armenia, France, Georgia, Ireland, Italy, Kazakhstan, Malta, Netherlands, North Macedonia, Poland, Portugal, Serbia, Spain, United Kingdom and Ukraine. And of course, as we said before, United Kingdom coming back after a long time away.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. It's time for this. Flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap. Well, flappity, flappity, flap that Eurobop.
Oh, yes, it is indeed. It's that time again. It's Flop That Eurobop. And thank you once again. We really appreciate it when it's not us that always has to sing badly. This is, of course, where you take a bit of a Eurovision song, either me or Martin or one of you guys sings it badly. It has to be bad, and we try and guess what you're singing. So thank you so much to Theo, who sent in this episode's entry. Now, this does come with a bit of a hint. I don't know if you want the hint.
Well, should we
first,
have the hint in a second? Yeah. Let's hear it first of all, and then we'll have the hint.
Right, and here it is.
Yo, yo, wala, chapara, kambe. Yo, wala, chapara, papa. Waka, 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 kaka.
Oh, the waka, 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 kaka.
Yes.
It's got to be something.
It's got to be something. I feel like that's the whole key to it. Do you not think so? But I can't, for the life of me, think what that would be. I feel like there is a song that does kind of say waka waka, but I feel like maybe he wasn't saying it as part of the lyrics. Do you know what I mean?
Could it be like Wild Dances by Ruslana?
I don't know.
It's just got a kind of waka waka kind of feel to it.
It does. Should we look at the hint? The hint might help us.
All right. But before any of that,
if
you think you know what it is at this point, pause the podcast. Send us a message, nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com, the email address. You can get in touch with us via Instagram and Twitter and all of that. And if you're a Patreon, you can comment on there. Just tell us what you think it is right now and see how well you get on. Here, though, is the hint. This is Theo's hint. This is a Northern European country from the early 2000s and my first Eurovision memory.
Northern
European rules out Ukraine then, doesn't it? It can't be Wild Dances.
No, I didn't think it was either. It didn't sound quite right. Shall we listen to it again then with that new knowledge?
Yeah, all right. So a Northern European country from the early 2000s. Have a listen to this and see if you can work out what it is.
Yo, yo, wala, chapara, kambe. Yo, wala, chapara, papa. Waka, 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 kaka.
Waka 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 kaka.
That last bit. What is that last bit? So I've just Googled Northern Europe and we have UK, Sweden, Norway, Ireland, Iceland, Finland and Denmark. And I don't know whether you would count. Would we be counting France and Germany as part of that? Or how
that's
north
Western
are we?
Europe, really. Yeah, I think we're looking for Scandinavia here.
Yeah.
Or maybe Iceland.
I don't think it's UK.
No.
We've got egg on our faces if it's UK, but I don't think it is. I'll be honest, I'm definitely not going to get the song title from this, but I'll take a stab at the country. I don't think it's Ireland, I don't think it's UK. I'll go Norway.
And I'll go Denmark.
Okay.
Shall we have the answer?
Let's have the answer. Let's have a look. Thank you very much again, Theo, for sending this to us. We're probably both completely wrong. Here he goes. I love the way he's revealed this, by the way, in the email. He says, here's the answer. Drum roll, please. Here it comes. Oh, we both got it wrong. Oh, it's... Oh, it's Finland, actually. Damn it! We were close.
Finland, and the song is this, Addicted to You. Yeah, Laura and Addicted to You from Finland in 2002.
It was me.
It was you. Congratulations if you got that right. We did not, but a very, very good suggestion and a very good flop that Eurobop. So thank you so much, Theo.
Thank you very much, Theo. And don't forget, if you want to do the same, it shouldn't take very long. Literally just send us, record on your phone a little bit. Send it by email. Send the answer separately like Theo did. That really helps. Not that it'll trouble us anyway, but yeah, send it to nullpointpodcast@gmail.com, NULPOINTS podcast@gmail.com. And thank you to people who have been sending in their thoughts from last episode. We were speaking about OGAE Russia. Should the official Russian fan club for Eurovision be allowed to stay within that and within the song contest that they're doing at the moment? If you want to catch up on that, we spoke about that in the last episode. Thank you to Luke, who sent by email, and we're talking about OGA Russia, responded to Ukraine's allegations? If not, why not? As far as I'm aware, I don't think they have. We'll have to check that one out, but I don't think they did. They either need to clarify matters or else leave themselves. But Luke adds, should OGAE Russia be kicked out? Well, other clubs voted for them to remain. Isn't one of Eurovision's values democracy? And that's very true. The matter now seems to be, because there was the vote and people voted to have them leave, there's not much, I feel, like the OGAE kind of organisers can do, because they have let people have their say. And the same with the UK, they voted within, members voted within, and they said they didn't want to be part of it, so they're not part of it anymore. So I think it is good that they have had this voting system. But thank you very much, Luke, again, for sending that to us. nullpointpodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us anything. And thank you to our patrons who's got in touch as well. Emma, we're speaking about our holiday mishaps.
Yes, she was. Oh no, both of your holiday mishaps sound horrible. They were horrible, Emma.
Yes, they were.
Yes, maybe it was Queen Liz sending you bad juju for fleeing the country. Maybe. I don't know.
We've got a curse upon us.
I know. Goodness me. I don't know whether we can say that. Theo's also been in touch. Another null pointer on Patreon.
And he said, sorry for your mishaps during your holiday. And he sort of relates to your story, Martin, when you were talking about driving on the wrong side of the road where you were away, saying, having visited the UK once, I remember being very scared during my first car trip because we were driving on the wrong side of the road. Also adds, hearing Laura's story makes me hope I never step on a sea urchin. Don't do it. Even if you want to, be close to Sam Ryder, don't. This is not the way to do it, I would suggest. It also gives a point on Russia that we were talking about, saying I don't think they should enter the contest anymore until they've stopped their atrocities. A line should be drawn somewhere, and I believe Russia has shown us where to draw it. I suppose the thing is, they aren't in the contest, in the song contest, but I guess you're talking about the OGAE song contest. But as we've said, the vote was taken and people voted for them to stay. So I guess at the moment, we'll keep an eye on this news story, but at the moment it looks like they're going to remain within the song contest and Eurovision song contest as well. So thank you very much. Remember, you can also get in touch on Twitter. We are at Poir Null on Twitter, and we're also on Instagram as well, at Null Poir Podcast on Instagram too.
Yeah, thank you very much. Been lovely to have your company for this particular edition of Null Poir. We'll be back again very soon. Maybe we will know which city will be hosting the Eurovision. Also, maybe we'll even have a date for when it's going to happen. Slight concerns for me, because if Eurovision happens on the 20th of May, that's my grandma's 100th birthday.
Oh.
And I kind of feel like I'd feel a bit guilty not going to that, but at the same time, Eurovision. So
yeah.
need to work that one
she
out.
She might
anyway,
have an early one.
An early 100th birthday.
She might it might not be too late in the day, and then
I could go to both, is what you're saying. Yeah, that's a possibility.
It's in the UK at least.
It is. That's very true. That's very true. Hadn't even thought of that. Okay, let's not get bogged down in that now. Let's Let's leave that for another time and another edition of
Spin the magic.
Cuddle the bear.
Yes, not the other one.
No, not the other one.